Welcome, welcome to Grace Point. We're glad you're here today. Thank you for joining us this morning. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about finding hope in the midst of the valleys, and especially, we started last week, especially those that are struggling with mental health issues and mental illness. The struggle is real. We started last week and we talked about the truth about mental illness. And today, I want to talk to you about the truth about anxiety, what the Bible has to say to us about anxiety, and even more importantly, how we can find victory over anxiety. Now, some of you here today, just like I said in the other two services, some of you, maybe it's not something that you struggle a lot with. Maybe you do pretty good when it comes to that whole anxiety thing, and you've got that kind of under control, which is good. I think all of us do, to a certain point, wrestle with it. And then there's some of you that you're kind of on this side, you're this extreme, that anxiety has a stronghold on your life. It controls you, kind of dominates you, and it begins to impact you and the way you are doing life and the things that you're not doing because of the anxiety. And it's really out of control. And then there's some of you that are kind of right in the middle. But I think all of us, to a certain extent, struggle with this. It's nothing new. Jesus talks about it in the Bible, and that's what I want to share with you today. Next week, we'll talk the truth about depression. Before I jump into this, on Wednesday, we're going to post the podcast on the Grace Point Facebook page, and then we'll put it on our media page on our website. I sat down with a guy in our church named Chuck Bird. So Chuck came to the series last year. It's the first time he came to Grace Point, saw it advertised, social media, and came, and has been coming ever since then. And through our connection, I just got to become friends with him, and he shared his story of why he came, and I sat down to talk with him about that. Chuck, in 2014, his son Kyle was a student at Guyer High School, and Kyle took his own life. And Chuck came last year, saw the series advertised, and has a great, really a great testimony of hope in the midst of tragedy, hope in the midst of darkness. And so I sat down with him this past week, and we just talked with him about that, and he shares his testimony and how the Lord has provided for him and his family through the valley and through the time of darkness. They still struggle. Certainly, we can understand that, but that really hope shines through. So I hope you'll listen to that on Wednesday, and it's a good lead into next Sunday. We're going to talk about finding hope in the midst of the dark valley, walking through depression, and Chuck talks about that and his battle with it a little bit in the podcast. So I hope you'll check that out this Wednesday when we post that up. So today, we're talking about the truth about anxiety. And in 1988, a song came out. I heard it, thought, man, this is the answer to your worries. Maybe some of you are going to recognize this song. Some of you are like, I wasn't even born then. But play a couple lines for me.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay, that's probably enough. That's the whole song. You just heard the whole song right there. It just repeats that over and over again. Don't worry, be happy. Don't Google it and go to it. It's not because it's a Christian song. So, but here's the deal. You know, if it was only that easy. You know, if it was only that easy, just don't worry about it. Just be happy. Now, for those who battle anxiety and those who struggle with it, I'm one, we wish it was that easy. You know, just stop worrying about it. So those who don't battle it, I want to encourage you, and we'll talk about this a little bit towards the end, is when you're trying to encourage those who do battle, and some of it may be circumstantial, right? Maybe you don't battle day in and day out, but certain circumstances, you kind of peek out with anxiety, right? we want to be encouragers. And to those who battle with it, and really some battle with it every single day, and it's very controlling, that we want to be encouraging and just understand if you're not battling with it, it's much harder than just, hey, don't worry about it. Just stop worrying about it. It's really, for those who battle, it's not that easy. But the good news is, what I want to show you today is that We do have a pathway forward. We do have a pathway of victory. I brought this slide, which kind of caps it. Look at that. Anxiety is a lot like a toddler. Never stops talking. Tells you you're wrong about everything and wakes you up at 3 a.m. That's anxiety. Toddlers too, but that's anxiety. On a more serious note, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults in the United States, age 18 and older, dramatically increasing now among the younger age kids. Statistics are telling us it's just rising dramatically in terms of the number of people. So, you know, it's 40 million plus. I think that's a low number of people that deal with anxiety. And so it's important for us to understand, you know, how do we respond? How do we deal with things? How do we find victory over this? Before we begin, I want to share a couple things with you just to remind you. This is not on your outline, but let me just remind you. All right, because some of you, you've been battling a long time. Some of you, you've been struggling a long time, and you kind of get to a place where, you know, I'll listen to it, but man, I don't see myself getting over it, working through it. It might be anxiety, it might be something else, all right? But let me just remind you of a couple things. Number one, God still does miracles, amen? Still does them. The only reason we may not see them is because we're not praying for them. Maybe that's the problem. So bold faith and bold prayers as we come to the Word today, as we address this and next week, and maybe just strongholds that are in your life, could be something totally different. We must believe God still does miracles. Number two, God still changes lives. Amen. God still does that. He wants to do that in your life. He still changes lives. So for you yourself, don't give up on you, and you don't give up on other people. God can still do that. God still changes lives. Number three, you can have victory over anxiety. By the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the power of God, you will get through this. You can and you will. And I want you to have that hope as we talk about the truth about anxiety, to have hope. And the last thing, perhaps the most important, is this. It's just a reminder. The scriptures are going to remind us about this. We all need Jesus. Amen? When we start talking about anxiety, we start talking about anything, really, even when I'm teaching through the book of James, it's all going to point to Him. It's all going to point to our need for Him. You've read scriptures. You understand the things that He calls us to do. There's no way in our own power we can do this. Anxiety is one of those things. Just reminds us, hey, we need Jesus. We need Him. We need Him to have victory over this. I will say to you, it's my personal conviction, just my personal conviction, that healing over anxiety must involve God. That without Him, we won't find that lasting, ongoing victory. And that's why, and plus my personal journey of it, I'm so passionate about it because I understand it, but I also know we can have victory over it. We can read the scriptures, we can see, and that's what I've done. Years ago, I battled with it in more intensity, and it really had more dominating control in my life. I still battle anxiety, but not to where it dominates and controls. But that happened when I began to understand what the Bible says about it and what I must do to find victory. So that's really, if you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, I didn't put it on your outline because I have so much that I can't fit it all in there. But at the top of the outline, I would write the words, do the work. Do the work. And just out of my love for you, I say this, but you can come in here, listen to this message, agree with everything I said based on what the Bible teaches, and walk out. If you do nothing, you won't be changed. You have to do something. The whole book about James that I'm teaching through, verse by verse, this whole year is about what? It's about our works. Not that we work for our salvation, but that our faith produces works. If we want to find healing over anxiety and not let it control and dominate us anymore, we have to do the work. We have to do our part. So the promises in the Bible, as you study the promises, I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to dwell. But when you look at the promises of God, there's always a promise, but there's always a premise before the promise. The premise is you're in my part. The promise is what God will do. For instance, Philippians chapter 4, which we're going to look at in just a minute in the Living Bible, says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and thank God for His answers. There's the premise. Here's the promise. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. That's the promise. But the premise is the first part, the work that you and I have to do. Now, a lot of times we just want the last part. Well, I want the promise. I don't want to do any work. And that's one reason why we don't find victory on going over anxieties, because we're not doing the work. We're not doing our part. Doesn't mean that it's all depends on us, but we do have a part, and we know that God ultimately transforms and changes us and gives us victory. But we do have a part. So I want you to understand that as we go into this today, that to find victory, we must do our part. We must do the work. Matter of fact, there's three foundational scripture passages I'm going to give you. Matthew 6, 25, Philippians 4, which I just said 6, and 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. Every one of those has action involved in it. It talks about anxiety. It talks about victory over anxiety. But every one of them has action involved in it, our part. The first one we're going to see is seek, the word seek, that we must seek. The second one we're going to see is the word pray. And the last one we're going to see is the word cast. Right? That's all action-oriented things that we must do, right, to find this victory that God wants us to have. How we respond. Somebody once said, you've heard it before, life's 10% of what happens to us, 90% of how we respond to it. So we want to be able to respond biblically to this anxiety and to difficult circumstances and to hard situations so it doesn't increase our anxiety as we're walking through valleys. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're going to start there. Three foundational verses. There's more than this on anxiety, but I'm taking these three. Matthew 6, 25 is where we will start. Let me read this. Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore I tell you, do not. So he's going to tell them what you should not do. Then he's going to tell you what you should do. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now we'll come back to that part in just a little bit. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after. That's going to be the key of this one right here. All these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, here's the key. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's not just seek the kingdom of God. You say, well, hey, our family, I myself, but I'm seeking the kingdom of God. The question is, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? It doesn't just say seek the kingdom of God. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons, not the only, one of the reasons anxiety gets a stronghold on us is because seeking the kingdom of God is down here on the list instead of the first thing. So what's our action? What's that do the work? It's the seeking part. And that's what he's talking about. Seek first. Not just seek somewhere along there. Work it in. But it's seek first. Therefore, do not be anxious, he says, about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I say amen to that verse right there. We got enough to worry about right here today. We want to get victory over today. So here's the first thing I want you to see. I can't go through verse by verse, so I'm just going to land on a couple. Verse 25, first of all, where he talks to them about being anxious about clothes. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Takeaway number one. Gratitude for what we are not worried about helps us find victory over what we are worrying about. Amen? Did you get that? So the idea is Jesus is talking to these people. Their worries were, where are we going to get our food and where are we going to get our clothes? They were talking about that. Now, I don't know everybody in here, but I bet not hardly anybody in here is worried about where lunch comes from today. Your biggest challenge and worry is, where should we go? Roses, Chicken Express, Arby's, Panda. It's where do you want to go for that, right? That's what you're worried about. I'm worried about where the longest line's going to be. I go based on how quick I can get through. So, but we're not anxious about about the food for tomorrow. We're not anxious about the clothes that we're going to wear. Where are they going to come from? That's what these people are dealing with, man. So what I'm saying to you is a starting point. It's not the main focus of the text, but a starting point is being grateful for the things God has already provided, and to see the faithfulness of God helps us deal with our anxiety, dealing with what is right before us. So be grateful for what God, and it's easy. I do this, man. I take things for granted with everything that God has given to me. And I get so worried about, oh, man, I hope he's going to provide in this situation. Oh, I hope he's going to provide. Oh, I'm so worried. And I'm not looking around and seeing his provision and his faithfulness. And I'm taking that for granted. Man, when our kid, our four are older now, but when they were younger, man, I would pull the car over if they started to get an ungrateful attitude for everything that they had. And I would lecture them and preach to them and do it in about this tone of voice. Do you not realize? Let me remind you of everything you have at home. We're arguing about where we're going to go eat. And somebody's pouting over here. I say, well, kids in the other part of the country don't have McDonald's, okay? I give them that speech, you know. Taking things for granted. And yet I find myself, if I'm not careful now, I can do the same thing with all that God has provided me. When I take it for granted or I worry about his provision in this circumstance, whatever it may be that's causing me anxiety. So I encourage you, again, do the work, take the time, man. And so when my anxiety is at my highest, and when in the past years it's peaked out, I still battle, but I have literally, one of the things that helped me is really this verse in the sense of, and others, I will sit down with a notebook and I will write out the things that God has provided for me and the things that I'm grateful for. And when you start doing that, that list, man, that list can get long really fast. And I see, it's just me, maybe, I see in his faithfulness and what he's provided for me. Gratitude for what we're not worried about. They're worried about food and clothes, man. God's providing that. Helps us find victory over what we are worrying about. Look at verse 27 then. He goes on, just jump over to verse 27. And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? So takeaway number two, worry does nothing to help us. And we kind of know that. I wish just saying that would make it go away. I don't think it does, but I think it can help, right? So Jesus asks a question that reminds us of really what we already know, but they and we were not believing. How is this going to help us? It's not going to benefit us. All right, so it's just a good reminder. Winston Churchill said this, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Worry does nothing to help us in the present, right? Let's go to verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when you do that, then verse 34, we're able to do verse 34, which is not being anxious about tomorrow. So takeaway number three, kind of echo what I started with, first things first, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, let me say this to you. I think we're pretty good at seeking God and the kingdom of God when the circumstances are on us, when the tragedy strikes, when the crisis is happening. And that's a good thing. I think, you know, we should be doing that. But I want to tell you, that the key to having victory over anxiety, and I'm not saying you won't have anything as you walk into the valleys, but not letting it control you, is that you do this verse long before you get there. Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God every single day before you get there. And then what happens then is God, as you're seeking first the kingdom of God, He's transforming you. He's strengthening your faith. He's giving you new perspective, right? He's growing and building you. So when you go into that valley, and it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. John 16, in this trouble, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. It's broken. It's fallen. I don't mean that discouraged. It's just reality, man. If you're not in it now, you will be. It's going to happen. So as we're seeking first the kingdom of God before we get to it, He's strengthening us and growing us so that when that happens, He's empowered us to make it through that valley and to come out on the other side. If I said to you, hey, at the end of October, Grace Point Church, we're going to run a 26-mile marathon together, okay? And if you're a member here, you got to participate, okay? You got to run. All of us got to run. So some of you who are, in the whole physical fitness thing, some of you would be like, that's awesome. You go home today, you go run. You'll start running. You'll run every single day all the way up until you get to the start line on that day. You'll start. You'll finish well. You'll run well. You will finish the race because you were disciplined to prepare for the marathon. Others of you, well, I would not do anything. I hate running. I would just show up. I'll meet you at the start line. Okay? As I begin to run, not far into it, I would start to cramp up. I would have a hard time breathing. I would eventually quit, right? I'm not going to make it through that marathon because I did not even prepare. I knew it was coming. I did nothing that will help me make it through that race. Now, it's that idea of seeking first the kingdom of God. That's not the sole focus of it. But as you are seeking first the kingdom of God each day, God is strengthening you. God is growing you so that when you do come into the valleys, you struggle well. You struggle with hope. You suffer well. I'm not saying it's absence of, but the way you handle it now is much different. Doesn't control you, doesn't dominate you, doesn't defeat you, right? Because you have been faithfully seeking first the kingdom of God. Seek first, and that's the, I think, seek is the action, right? First is key, that every day I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. Even on our good days, we are seeking first the kingdom of God. As one writer said, may I never forget that on my best day, that I still need God as desperately as I did on my worst. So I see it's that need for Jesus. It's that need for the Lord. So then, how do we seek? How do I know I'm doing that? Well, you being here, you're seeking God. Studying the Word of God, that's seeking Him. Praying, that's seeking Him. Serving, that's seeking Him. Right? And first, that's a priority to that it is clear. That it is clear. That it is clear to the people closest around you, it is clear that you are one that seeks first the kingdom of God. You don't have to tell anybody that when you're doing it. Hey, by the way, just so you know, man, I always seek God first. Everybody will know it if we're doing it. And that seek first, that's a real key to this thing of finding victory over anxiety. Now, let me go back to one other part from this in verse 30 where he says, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. So if you're seeking the kingdom of God first, he's building our faith, right? He's strengthening our faith. We're trusting in him first. Don't take time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Let me read this to you. And when he got into the boat, talking about Jesus, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Jesus was asleep, okay? And they went and woke him up, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing, okay? So circumstantially, things are going bad. That's typically things around us, when circumstances go bad, something happens, our anxiety increases, right? That's what's happened here. The waves and the wind, their anxiety's up. What do? They're going to the Lord. Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid? So why is this overtaking you? Why are you so afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So here is the problem, right? The disciples, they wake him up because they're fearing for their life. And the problem was they were putting their faith not in Jesus, but in the boat. And anytime you place your faith in a created thing more than you do the Creator, you will always worry. Always worry. Where their faith was not in God. It was in that boat to sustain them. And they saw this isn't going well. And so they got anxious and they got afraid and the fear overtook them. What were they seeking first? What are we seeking first? Are we seeking first the created things? Or are we seeking first Creator? Seek first the kingdom of God. So all these things we give to you. The provision of God. And then it releases us, frees us from being anxious about tomorrow. Seek is the first word. Now let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, that's our work. That's our work right there. Okay, the first part is seeking, the first verse, Matthew. But now in Philippians, it's praying. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we're after right there. The peace of God and guard. Think about it. It's guarding your mind and it's guarding your heart. And you're calm. Anxiety no longer controls. You have the peace of God. Take one more for us. I say it this way. You've got to change the channel of what you're focusing on. You move towards what you focus on, right? We've learned that. You move towards what you focus on. I can't worry about that. 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 You're going to worry about that because you're thinking about it and you're moving towards what you focus on. So here he's not just saying stop worrying. He's saying you need to change your focus, the channel. Instead of worrying, he said, instead of that, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So instead of that, by prayer and supplication. So I'm changing my focus, what I'm thinking about. Not about what I can't be worried about, but what I can do, which is pray. And sometimes, look, that's just a conversation with God. When I'm driving in my truck and I'm driving to a situation that's creating anxiety in my heart and in my stomach, and physically I start to feel it in my stomach and I get edgy, right? And that's starting to happen. Then I have to start talking. I have a conversation with God about what I'm anxious about. And I need this. God, help me with this. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to change the channel. I'm trying to change my focus. I'm spending that conversation with God. We're talking about praying. That's what you're doing. Even if you're doing it out loud in your car, in your truck, by yourself, you're taking that action. That's doing the work. So you're praying. You're seeking first, and that's another way you seek first the kingdom of God. Second, then, is your praying. Let's go to the third one. Last one is this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting, now this is the action part again, all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So that's kind of dual. There's two things. You have to humble yourself and you need to cast. So takeaway number 5 is this. Don't forget God. In the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your fear, whatever it may be, anxiety, don't forget God. That's what this verse means. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves. He's saying, recognize that you need Jesus, that you can't do this. So humble yourselves and cast it on God. Get rid of the self-sufficient attitude. Humble yourself. You're never going to cast your anxiety on God unless you recognize you need him. So that's why he starts out with humble yourself. Don't think that you can handle it on your own. Humble yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then what you do is you cast. All right, you're casting it on God. So in the midst of it, don't calculate without God. Don't look at your situation without looking through the scriptures, without recognizing again God. It's not, if we're self-sufficient, it creates anxiety in our life. Okay, last two. Takeaway number six, be an encourager to those who struggle. Be an encourager to those who struggle. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, not on the screen, not on your outline. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Okay, maybe you don't struggle with this, okay, but you know somebody who does. Maybe it's a husband, a wife, a child, a coworker, whatever, okay? Then your calling is to be an encourager. Be an encourager. Come alongside them. Be patient with them in their struggle. Be an encourager to them. And one of the ways we find that encouragement is reaching out. We have a support group that meets on Wednesday nights at 6:15. I'll be out in the lobby again at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. If you want to come to that, I'll connect you in there. It's just a great group of people as they work through and talk through and pray through and encourage one another. That's another way for you to find encouragement and find a context of encouragement. My email address is up here. If you need someone to encourage you, to reach out to, then email me and let's connect, and I can help you and pray for you and encourage you and connect you with resources. But we must be encouragers, Grace Point. We must be an encourager to those who struggle. Someone once said, and I wrote it down because I loved it, I'm not interested in whether you've stood with the great. I'm interested in whether you sat with the broken. That's what we want to do, man, is to come alongside those who are struggling, to be patient, to sit with those that are struggling. Takeaway number seven, the last one, is this: to grab a promise today, the promises of God. So out in the, as you leave today, out this door and out this door, I put a table up. You can't miss it. You got to walk right by. On that table are resources. I'm big about getting resources into your hand. I don't have time to preach everything there is. I would love to preach about anxiety. I could go another hour. I don't have time to do that. And so what I'm just wanting to do is to put resources out there for you. A couple things. Number one, out on the table as you leave are these cards right here. These are the scripture verses I used today. These are the scripture verses that the Lord helped me to find victory over anxiety so it didn't dominate and control me. And so I put it on a card. Let me encourage you to take one of those. Put it on your desk. Put it in your car. Put it on the refrigerator, something. But have that there. If you're heading into circumstances that are going to increase your anxiety, take it with you. There is some power. There's power in reading the Word of God, right? That's a part of seeking. That's a part of you doing the work. These cards are out there. There's an article I put out there that I've read. I wanted to preach some of this, but I didn't. It's some great ideas. Six things to do with your anxiety. Name it, identify, ask, listen, talk, and give. Great article. It's out there on the table just for you to do further study if you would like as you leave today to pick that up. And then the resources, all the resources that I mentioned last week, it's also out there on that table if you need. It's got biblically based counselors. It's got biblically based books and websites and the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. If you're struggling, please reach out to me or to on the hotline. A lot of resources there. So I want to encourage you with that. Grab a promise today from the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 41. Let me read this one. This is a good one. And then I'll bring it down here. Here's something. You grab a hold of the truth of God's word. Look, there's power in the truth of God's word. It gives us victory over anxiety. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's doing a lot there. So grab a hold of those. The other thing I want to mention before I forget it, I don't know if I mentioned it at the start of the message. I may have, but it all runs together at the three services. So I want to say that sometimes the pathway forward for people, and this is my personal conviction, I'll talk about it next week too. Sometimes the pathway forward, first, seek first the kingdom of God. First, it's the word of God. I think it's the people of God. It's God himself. We seek that first. We start there. Sometimes that pathway forward leads to people needing medication. I believe in that. I do. I think that that happens at times, and people need that. So I'm not saying that's your first run. You run right to that. But I am saying, as you're working through, you can be working through and doing the work here biblically, and God provides that in some way. So, you know, you pray about that and see if the Lord leads you to that. Get some counsel on that, myself, others that can help you with that. I think that's true about people dealing with depression also. There's three things that are not on your outline that I want to finish with this. If we're talking about finding victory, this is the very practical stuff. Number one, here's the first thing to find victory over anxiety. I'll finish with number one. Don't be fatalistic. Okay, in your mindset, don't be fatalistic. Okay, we tend to run that way, right? I think we tend to go that way. When we look at the circumstance, we kind of resolve ourselves and we look at the worst case scenario. Which leads me to the second thing, don't play the what if game. Okay, don't play that what if game. I've played for years. I'm really good at that. What if this? Oh, and what if this? And what if this? And what if this? And so as I've kind of worked through that, I wrote this down in my notes as I was kind of working through something one day. Playing the what if game is like Googling your symptoms when you feel sick. That's what it's like. You know what I mean? You Google your symptoms when you feel sick, you're going to go see Jesus tomorrow, according to Google, right? I got a sore throat. I'm going to see Jesus tomorrow. Because that's what it says. Because it always tells you the extreme, the worst, right? Oh, it could be this. Oh, man. And people, you freak out. Your anxiety just peaks out. You got a sore throat, but it could be this. It could be that I just yelled for three services and my throat's sore. You know what I'm saying? And so, the what if game does. When you play the what if game, how many of you, don't raise your hand, because it's none of you. We never run to what if this happens and it's good stuff. You know what I mean? As you're facing this challenge and this trial and this circumstance that brings anxiety, we don't run to the what if. Oh, what if it works out great? What if I do get the promotion? What if our marriage is stronger? What if we don't do that. We what if of the horrible, it's the things you fear, because that's what you fear the most. That's what you're going to be drawn towards, those things, because you fear them. And you start thinking, oh my gosh, what if this? Oh, then what if this? Oh, and if this happens, oh man, this might happen. And what if this? And before you know it, man, my stomach, I can't eat, I can't sleep, and my head's going 100 miles an hour. All about, because what if this happens? And like I read before, man, so many times that stuff just does not happen. So do the work. If you always do what you've always done, you always be where you've always been. Victory over anxiety is we do the work. As God's word says, and then God always does his part. Let's stand together. Our time's got us. Will you stand with me as we... what was number what? Man, that was like 2 hours ago. I mean, I don't know. First things first. Take a... Oh, that one. Sorry, man. Oh, yeah, I got one more. Sit down for just a minute. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. This is a good one. Thank you. I got one more. I like this one, too. Thank you for that. I thought you meant take one number three. That was like an hour ago. So here's the third one. Thank you. Celebrate the victories, okay? Especially with your children, because I know a lot of kids, you know, anxiety, as I said, is increasing dramatically. Research shows that among our kids, right, at a very young age, man, from elementary school to middle school, man, it's getting to our kids. And so one of the things that helps is, as your children, and it's too for us as adults too, but as you're walking through it, especially with your kids, and they have that courage, and they go and they step forward, and they go take the test, or they step onto the athletic field, or they, whatever difficult thing they walk through, and they walk through that, and they get through that, all right, after they do, celebrate their victory. Let them hear that. Look what God did. You step forward, God did this, and celebrate that. It strengthens their spirit. It strengthens their confidence. And it gives them, once again, the knowledge of the power of God to do that through them. And then it compounds as they begin to see God working. But we must celebrate the victories. Okay, there you go. Let's stand up. You're welcome. No problem. Anytime. I can preach longer if you want me to. Okay, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for just a few minutes, okay? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our prayer team, if you all will come forward. I've asked just people to come forward, some ladies too, because I know some ladies want to pray with other ladies, and that's important too. But they're going to come forward. They're going to be standing along down here during the invitation for you to come, and even after for a little bit if you want to come afterwards. But I just encourage, there's great power in prayer, and that'd be a shame that you step out of God's calling you. Man, have someone pray over you, seeking first the kingdom of God. Man, praying, that's that action again, seeking, praying, casting. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just read this. The four most anxiety dispelling words for my soul over the years came at the end of 1 Peter 5:7. He cares for you. He cares for you. The coming of Christ, his sacrificing of himself for your sake, his rising again in power, His coronation as King of Kings at the right hand of His Father, the sending of His Spirit, it all bears witness that He cares for you. The Father demonstrates His care for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. The Father did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for you. How will He not graciously give you all you need in His perfect timing? He cares for you. Anxiety be gone. So, Father, we're grateful today for Your provision, for Your care, for Your faithfulness. I'm praying for everybody today, God, who's battling this thing, that they would find victory, God, through Your Word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, through Your Spirit in us. May we walk in victory. May it be a testimony, God, of Your greatness. A testimony of Your greatness. We need You, Father. We need You. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if He wants to pray for you, we invite you to come. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and God's calling you today, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. We'll lead you in that prayer of salvation. Have the Lord lead you this morning. Let's just continue to worship Him together.